Good evening. Welcome to today's talk. But today we will speak of, it's a very small group today. It's Hugelit. So people are busy with many things. Okay, today we shall speak about transformation. This month we will focus on transformation. So the first talk that we will have, which will be this today and the next Sunday, we will speak about the role of insight and will in transformation. And then the next talk, which we will have on the third and fourth Sunday, we will speak about perseverance and cooperation and that its role in transformation. Very often in the world when they speak about change, it could be change at the level of an individual, change at the level of a system or a process, change at the level of an organization. They say there are, broadly speaking, two forms of change. They say transitional change and transformational change. So transitional change is temporarily there is a change, there is a shift, there is a change from earlier ways of doing things to new ways of doing things, and there is some changes there. But it is not a transformational change. There is no real looking at fundamental change in the way we look at things, the way we do things. So that hasn't happened, but there has been some transition. There has been some change. So because there has been some change in some aspects of the system, like at the level of the individual, we bring about some changes in our lives. And these changes are helpful, but we are unable to bring about that radical transformation that sometimes is needed to really start life afresh and look at things in a very different way and really change the whole way that we approach life and also change the outcomes that we have from our efforts. There is an old saying in English. It goes, if I think the way I've always thought, I will do what I've always done. If I do what I've always done, I will get what I've always got. So if I want to change, I want to get some new things, then I need to obviously change the way I do certain things. And to change the way I do certain things, I probably need to change the way I think about certain things. So anyway, there are various ways of looking at transformation. We will, of course, look at our own individual life journey and the experience of transformation in this journey. We all want to bring about some changes in our lives, yes? In our personality, in our behavior, in the way we do things. And many of us make plans. Some of us make plans on our birthday. So, new year of my life, what am I going to do this year? Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop doing this. Some of us make resolutions on the new year. Every new year, okay, this year, this is how it's going to be. This year. Some of us make a decision at some critical point in our lives that, okay, I've had enough of this. From now on, it's going to be like this. We take a decision. We try to bring about this change. In the process, sometimes we succeed in bringing about this change. Sometimes we try for some time and then we let go. Sometimes we are unable to start in the first place. We know something is important for us, but we are unable to even start. Or we start, but we start half-heartedly, not very sincerely. So that doesn't last for very long. Sometimes with all sincerity, we begin our effort, but we fail. We try again. We fail again. We try again. We fail again. After repeated failures, then we feel, what's the point? Forget it. Maybe this is not for me. So there are many, of course, results of our effort at transformation. Today we will look at fundamentally three things. So first we will look at this experience of inertia. Inertia is I'm unable to start. Or I start, but half-heartedly I start something. And therefore, I'm not able to find any real change in that. So, inertia in, say, starting or continuing the process, that could be one outcome that we sometimes experience. The other could be disappointment. due to repeated failures. So I start, I really try sincerely, but I have failures in the process, and therefore I sort of give up at some point. And sometimes I try for some time, I succeed, but on the journey I become tired. So because I feel tired, I cannot really continue the process that I have taken up. So we will look at these three things today because we have limited time. So one is this experience of tiredness. So we understand it's really important for us. We start, we also succeed, we are able to bring about the change for some time. But after some time, we just become tired and we say, can't continue. And I don't know, I should continue, but the tiredness is so strong that I just give up, I just stop it. In fact, then I start doing the opposite of what I should be doing. Then the other process is, I know it's important for me, I know I should begin at some point of time. Like many a times when we start learning meditation, okay, I have to wake up in the morning and meditate, I know it's important for me, but we're unable to start. Or we start, but not seriously. Then the other process, as I said, we start, we make all effort, but we are unable to succeed. And that failure is very painful, and so we just give up. So we will look at these three experiences. We all can identify with these experiences? Yes? So let us now begin with looking at our own lives today. We all might have had such experiences. So let us first begin with the experience of tiredness. I will ask you a question. You can spend a few minutes thinking about it. And then we will go forward from there. Then I will ask you a question on inertia and then on disappointments and failures. So to begin with, think of a time in your life or some effort that you made in your life where you wanted to bring about some transformation in the way you were doing things, in your behavior, in your personality, whatever it could be, something with the self, in your thoughts, words, actions, in your relationships. And you started off the process of transformation. You felt it was important for you. You started it off. But after some time, you could not sustain it. You had this experience of tiredness. And the tiredness just took over and you could not continue on that process. So think of one or two such experiences in your life for a couple of minutes. We will take it further from there. So as you're thinking about this experience, you can ask yourself, why? What happened? What was the reason for this tiredness? When I know that something is important for me, I know that change is very important. Why do I end up getting tired? And we are looking at experiences where we have been succeeding also in that process of change. It's been working out, but I get tired. I stopped. So what is the reason for that? Okay? Need some more time? It's okay. So, what are your experiences with tiredness in the process of change, transformation? Why does it happen? We understand something is important for us. We start the process, we are able to get some success also in that process. In spite of that, we get tired and we can't sustain this. What is your experience? Yes?
I think for myself it is discipline and it is in somehow I need to see the fun in the action I do.
You need to see the?
Something fun. If it's yoga, I have to do it normally. And I have to think it's nice and fun in somehow. Because otherwise I don't do it.
So, okay, there has to be a sense of, you mean to say, there has to be a sense of enjoyment in the activity.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm unable to get that enjoyment anymore.
Oh, I haven't.
Never got it, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. So let us say, what you're saying is then, this activity has to have a sense of, can we say, meaning for me? Can we say that?
Yeah, but that is not enough.
Not enough?
No.
What else is required?
Yeah, then I need to have some discipline, just do it.
Yeah.
And to have discipline, I need to think it is funny somehow.
Okay. All right. So I need to find it.
Or it gives me joy or something.
Yeah, which has to be enjoyable, you're saying?
Yeah, for me, so.
Now, the question is, okay, it has to be enjoyable. If I don't really enjoy it, then I can't really continue. I get tired.
Yeah.
So, in some ways, it's not giving me any sense of meaning. So, then I just get tired. Yes?
For me, I also, when I stop things, it's if I feel a sense of a lack of support.
Like how? Lack of support from...
I'm thinking about, or if I'm in a group, for instance, and I want to do something and I feel it's not supported, then I lose the my enthusiasm more.
Okay.
Too.
So we are not getting a support from around us.
Yes, from surroundings.
From the surroundings,
yeah.
We're not getting the support,
yeah.
So we sort of get, we end up in a tired state.
Yeah.
Okay. So let us say I'm unable to find support. Okay. What else? What about others? Anyone? Any other experiences with the tiredness? Yes?
Unable to let go of the old, to
mm-hmm.
let the new.
Is that the reason for the tiredness?
It can be.
It can be.
Yeah.
Okay. We are unable to let go of something else, and we're trying something new, but for this I have to let go of that.
Yeah.
And this battle sort of makes me tired is what you're saying. Unable to let go of something that is there, and it creates a sense of this. There's a conflict going on, and there is okay. All right, so we can speak about some sort of dependencies or attachments that I have with something else, which I need to let go of, but I'm unable to let go of that. Is what you're saying, and that battle sort of makes me tired, and then I just give it up. Okay. Yes. Henry.
It could also be a lack of progress when you don't see things progressing as fast as they did in the start, then you maybe lose the point.
Okay, so there could be some expectations of progress,
yeah.
And these expectations are not fulfilled, and therefore I just sort of gave it up. Okay, you were saying something?
So maybe also some sort of laziness. So when you get comfortable, for instance, exercising or doing yoga, and although you know it's working, but also I experience some laziness when you get comfortable in continuing. So when you have sort of reached the benefit, then it maybe the meaning is not enough to drive it anymore.
The meaning is sort of lost.
Yeah, in a way. So it's, and then
that makes us lazy.
You know, I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, many of us, I think, would have that experience that, you know, if we're feeling lazy about something because unable to find that maybe that pleasure in it anymore, sense of meaning in it anymore, and therefore tiredness is that in a sense laziness, right? You sort of
the drive is gone in a way.
Yeah, the fun is gone, the meaning is gone, or whatever I want to achieve, it doesn't make sense anymore. I had a very interesting experience. Anyone else? Any other experiences? Yes?
Well, the times when I lost sort of the energy to continue was when I set the goal too short. Well, when this goal was very short term.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I experienced that when I make goals that are more long term and where the winning is not so, so grand, but when I gain something, it's little by little. I think it's, well, those times tended to be better for me.
Okay, so the nature of the goal itself. In your case, what you're saying is if it's like a short-term goal with a big achievement, then there is more tiredness associated with it, if I've understood you
correctly. Yes, and a bigger fall.
And a bigger fall.
Yes.
But if it's a long-term thing with small increments, then it's more sustainable is what, what you're saying. And so focusing on this short-term goal with a big achievement also has a bigger fall, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and it takes a lot more energy and effort to get up again.
Okay. So we are looking at a sort of a short-term and maybe grand focus. We want to achieve certain things quickly and in a large way. And so in a way, we could also say it is connected to our expectations, the nature of our expectations, what we are expecting out of this process. And then the fall is, of course, more intense in your experience. Yes,
I was thinking if you don't have a fresh perspective on the situation when it's kind of reoccurring, then you try to avoid, and because of that it becomes kind of okay. If it's kind of obstacle, you get into a older pattern, or you try.
Okay.
You miss the plot.
So what you're saying, if I've understood you correctly, is this absence of newness. We are unable to create newness, have a new way of looking at things, a novel way of approaching, some creativity in this whole process. When we are unable to have that, then also we experience a sense of tiredness. Yeah? Okay. Anything else? Let me give you a little case, a very interesting case of tiredness that I had experienced one with a person I was working with, a young girl. She it's a very... physical example, because her problem was physical. She was she was overweight when she was very young, so quite fat. And so, you know, when children go to school, other children can be quite mean. So she was always called the fatso. So this was when I was working in Dubai. She had grown up, of course. She was a young woman then, maybe around 21, 22, something like that. So, you know, from her childhood, she had been used to, and so because, you know, you as a child, you're growing up, and a lot of your self-respect, a lot of your self-image is about what the world is reflecting back to you. And your world there is your school, your friends, your teachers, and most of your time you are spending with your friends in school, and all these friends are calling you fatso, fatso, fatso. So you develop this sense of image that, well, it's not good to be fat, and I am too fat, and... So by the time she became a teenager, she felt, no, I have to really do something about this. This is not right. And one is, of course, people are calling me I'm fat. But the other thing is also, it's not good for my own health. And, you know, I need not be like this. And she started a very strict regimen of diet and exercise, eating the right things, exercising appropriately. And she actually started losing a lot of weight. Because, you know, some people are biologically, they have the natural tendency to have weight, and it's very difficult for them to lose weight then. But some people are not like that. And she wasn't like that. She just began putting on weight at some point when she was very young. So she tried and she actually succeeded. And she really changed her physical appearance. And all these friends of hers who used to tease her now were appreciating her for her beauty. So that was the ultimate, retribution for her, that I've proved myself now. And so she was very attractive in any case. And now, because she'd lost a lot of weight, she was looking even more attractive. And so this was continuing. And she knew she had that tendency of going back and slipping into overeating and not exercising. So she would keep herself very carefully away from food and exercise and continue to exercise. But after some time, she started becoming so tired with her whole effort of exercising and controlling her food. And so after a few years, actually, for a few years she continued, and she got a lot of good response from the world that she wanted. After some time, she just gave up. And then what used to happen was, she used to alternate. So she would go for a couple of weeks of serious dieting and exercising and everything, and then a couple of weeks of total binge eating. She would just go and eat and eat and eat all sorts of things which she would never have eaten before. And then she would realize, oh my, she would feel sick because what am I doing? And then she would give it up, and then she would exercise, control her diet for some time. Again, she would slip back. And this whole battle made her so tired. And she couldn't figure out, as you were saying, this whole battle, I'm unable to give this up, which I know is not so good for me. And it just made her so tired, and she just didn't know what to do. She tried something, she succeeded at it, and then she became tired. Many of us go through this in our lives. I've seen many students, for example, I have worked with. They have not been very good students, but at some point of time, they have the realization, no, I have to really do something with my life. I have to work hard, I have to study. And they study and they start doing very well. But after some time, they end up really tired of making the effort. And then they just give up. And then they slip back into their old patterns of behavior. I know I have to study, let's watch some TV. Or I know I have to study, let's give a call to this friend of mine, let's just see what he's up to. And he calls me out for a party and I go. And these guys, they know this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing it. Somehow they get pulled in that direction again and again. And then they compromise on what they believe they should be doing for their own future benefit. And then they feel worse about themselves. And they start losing their willpower, actually, to continue the process of change. So we lose the will to progress. At some point of time, there is a tiredness.
But I think it's because the girl not think it is funny to exercise. If she was feeling fun, she will do it for the rest of her life.
Yeah. So what is it then that makes us not enjoy these things? And initially we might have been enjoying them, but somehow that enjoyment goes away.
Not necessarily.
No. Sometimes I never enjoy it from the first.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. Sometimes I may enjoy it, but the enjoyment goes away. Like for in the case you see with many sportsmen who have a burnout in their lives. Yeah. I've worked with some of them. So they begin playing and they really enjoy what they're doing, and they're doing very well, and they start performing very well. After some point, they just get so stressed and tired with the whole thing, and they have a burnout.
That is because of the diet. You not get enough oil. Yes,
it could be one reason.
Feelings. Get depressed when you exercise a lot.
Yes, but there are also other sportsmen who don't get burnt out. There are also many others who we know in the world today. We have many examples like that of sportsmen who've gone on and on and on and on, and they stop winning, but they continue to play. They continue to do. One example is Michael Schumacher. He won Formula One so many times. Then he retired. Then he said, "No, I have to go back." And then he came back in one lousy team, lousy car, and he could never sometimes find the pole position or never win. But he continued to work, he continued to participate. So there are also sportsmen like that who continue because they like to do what they're doing. But there are sportsmen also who have this burnout. They're unable to continue anymore. So yes, of course, how we are treating our body, our diet, all these things have certainly an influence on what we are doing. But what else is happening inside us that stops us from enjoying what we know is important for us, we are unable to enjoy it. In some cases, we are not able to enjoy it from the very beginning itself. So we start something because we believe we should be doing it because it is right for us, but we are unable to really enjoy it. So very obviously, in some time, we are unable to continue. In some cases, we start something, we like it, but after some time, we just get tired with the whole thing and we start disliking what we were earlier liking. Yeah, I've seen cases like this as well, yes?
Maybe it's pressure. When there's too much pressure, you stop enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like maybe
that is the experience, at least of these sportsmen I've worked with.
Yeah.
When they say, you know, when they were young, they went on both of them were actually tennis players. And when they were young, they went out and they played and they really enjoyed it. And then the pressure starts mounting on them. But when does the pressure start?
When you get good at something.
And then what happens?
Well, I don't know, for me it's like I used to go swimming.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it and I was quite good at it. But then once I got better, my teacher started like screaming at me to like be faster, and then I just lost all interest and I stopped.
Yeah. Somehow, and you know, very interestingly, a lot of research now is telling us this. When our control shifts from the inside to the outside, is when pressure starts developing.
Yeah, that's what I meant by pressure.
You're right.
Not for myself, but for...
Yeah, but you know, as you said, many times, we are unable to recognize that the pressure is coming from the outside, which I have taken in the inside. So, for example, with this girl, we recognized when we went through the whole process, she realized that the whole reason, the intention that she started off with in her dieting and exercise was to make the world accept her. So from the very beginning, the control was actually on the outside. She was doing it. Of course, it's good, you know, for me physically, it's good that I have a balanced and controlled weight. But that was not the reason why she started. She started because she wanted to be accepted. She wanted these people who were criticizing her to tomorrow appreciate her. And she worked hard and she got it. And when they started appreciating her, as you were saying, the objective is now achieved. Now what do I do? But she understands that I still have to do this because it is good for me. But inside, her mind is not being controlled. Her will is not being controlled by her own inner understanding. But she's letting herself be controlled of what is happening around her. And she's unable to figure it out. And this conflict is going on in her mind. And then tiredness. And then she keeps slipping back into these old patterns which pull her again and again. And then the whole... So, how do we find the sense of meaning? How do we continue to find something enjoyable? We were speaking also about support. What if I don't get support from the world around me? Do I give up things? Will that be sensible for me? Support also includes dependencies that we will have. We will also look at that a little bit. Then I have certain expectations. They could be whatever kind of expectations that I have. Okay, if I start on this process, then I need to have some these certain results. And if I'm not getting these results, of course, that is also connected to failures that we experience. If we can find one common denominator from looking at our experiences and looking at also at what research has to say, there is one perhaps common denominator. What is our intention behind starting a change process? Is the intention to prove myself or to create some identity which will be accepted by the external world? Or is my intention driven by my internal control? So we can say, in simple words, is my intention driven by an external control, where I am trying to do things to prove myself to people around me, to find acceptance from the world around me? Or is my intention really driven from deep inside? Is it my own internal sense of right and wrong? my own internal sense of meaning that is driving my change process. And very often this can make a big difference in sustaining change. And many a times tiredness comes because I'm trying to get something out of the process and I'm unable to get that out of the process, or I've been trying to prove myself to the world, find acceptance in the world, or find acceptance to the voices of the world inside my head, as we keep saying it, because I've introjected the values of the world within me. And I'm trying to live up to a certain image that is there in my mind that I believe I should be, to be a person of worth, to be accepted by this world, and that just creates a sense of tiredness. So this is one aspect. Does it make some sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we are getting tired, a very useful rule of thumb is to look at my intentions. In my own personal life, working with other people as well as working with myself, I have never found this to fail me. Never. Always there is an answer, and whenever there is a sense of tiredness is because I'm focused on myself in a way, but myself in a very limited way, where I'm trying to prove some things about myself to myself in my eyes and in the eyes of the world in my own head. One example I have of a few years ago, maybe I've shared this earlier. I was teaching a course and the course was going well. I've always liked teaching in that area. But 20 sessions, after 15 sessions, I was thinking, oh my God, another 5 sessions, when is it going to finish? Mm-hmm. And I was asking myself, why am I feeling so tired? Okay, this is not a change process. This is just something I'm doing. But still, it helped me a lot. Why am I feeling tired? And I looked at myself, and the answer that I got was, well, you know, this whole process of teaching this course has, to me, become a way of proving myself, proving my identity, proving my capabilities, proving my worth. And I'm trying to do that, I'm trying to do that. So in a way, the control is outside, because I have to perform well, and so others appreciate me, and it's a big fight all the time. You're doing it, and you may actually be good at it. But because of this external pressure of performance, the control shifts. When the control shifts, I start feeling tired. And I can even start underperforming. And when there is the shift from this part of me to the other part of me that is not focused on my limited self, but is focused on something out there, the tiredness goes away. So when we look at internal control, we're not speaking about some sort of an... how do we get the internal control? Spiritual knowledge tells us internal control will come. We will be able to experience this control when we actually stop focusing on the self. So the internal control will come when I stop focusing on the self. But then people will say, we are losing our control because we are not focusing on the self, we're focusing on the world outside, right? That's a paradoxical thing. We are focusing on the world outside, but the question is, what is my intention in the focus on the world outside? If the intention is to validate myself, prove myself again and again to the world outside, if that is the intention behind my focus, that's where I will lose a lot of my energy. But when I'm focused on the world outside, not to prove myself, but I'm coming from a deep space within, that would be a different way of looking at things. Yes?
What do you mean with the control? Because I get a bad feeling about this word control.
Yeah, it has some not very good connotations in this world. What we are really speaking about is we are looking at fundamentally the experience of values. But we will speak about this a little later. When we are speaking of values, we also understand that there is the acquired part of our values, which we have taken in from the world outside, and that this other core part, which is a part of who I am. So are my intentions connected to these core values? This is what we will look at. But we will come back to this a little later. Let's take up this whole thing of inertia. So spend a couple of minutes asking yourself, moments in your life when you recognize that something was important for you. You wanted to start that process of change, but you were unable to begin. You can spend a couple of minutes on that. Or you start it, but very quickly, it never starts seriously. That's the thing. You start it half-heartedly, and then, of course, it cannot be continued. So there is a strong inertia holding us back from progressing. And what do you experience are the reasons behind that inertia?
We are not ready.
Sorry?
We are not ready.
Okay. Yeah, but why are we not ready? Where is that lack of readiness coming from? One is you said, but let's also give others a couple of minutes maybe.
Yes, I think it's the same. When I don't act, it's because I think too much and I haven't got the solution.
Okay. So say, for example, you would say we are not ready. Readiness is one issue. Anything else?
Fear.
Fear? What is the fear connected to?
It's about not knowing how to change or what I'm getting.
Yeah. Or what is going to happen is what you're saying?
Yeah.
A fear of the outcome? But what do you mean fear of the outcome? That I will not get what I have started off with the intention of getting? Fear of failure, is it?
Maybe not knowing what I'm getting.
Okay. Fear of the unknown?
Yeah, I know what I'm leaving or what I don't want, but I don't know what I'm going to get.
So I don't know what is going to follow, maybe, in this process, so therefore I'm not really starting. Yes?
I think it can also be confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I start usually at 10 different things at the same time.
Okay.
And then I don't do any
so
of it.
So I start to do too much?
Yeah.
Okay. So, of course, these are not isolated things, but we will try and put them together. So what you're saying is maybe we are not using the right method. We don't know which method to follow. We're thinking of too many things.
Yeah, so we want everything.
We want everything, so we are unable to really discern which is the method I need to follow to be able to bring about this transformation. Yes, anything else?
Also, if you don't truly believe the path you're about to set out on.
Yeah.
If it's right.
If the conviction is not there.
Yeah.
Okay, if I don't really believe, so okay, lack of. Why don't we believe that
I mean, in an inner sense, it's maybe related to the confusion that although you think you should sort of do it, but if you really don't believe it from it may hold you back.
Okay, the reasons. So basically, I'm unable to understand the reasons why I'm starting something, or the reasons are really not right.
Maybe the reasons are really not right. Maybe
so we have looked at intention, the motive behind my starting a task.
Mm.
And if the intentions are not really correct, that the intentions are based on some sort of a short-term achievement or trying to prove myself or something which I'm not really deeply convinced of, it will probably fail at some point. Okay? Anything else? Yes?
So instead of you pursuing what you really want, you're using what you're working against now as a sort of escape from what you really want.
Mm. So there is the sense of escape that you're speaking about.
Yeah.
Rather than actually pursuing something because you want to do it, you're trying to actually escape from something else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That you really need to do, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So we have here then, if you can look at it, one is, you know, we've spoken about readiness. I'm not really ready. I don't know whether I should be really progressing in this path. It is probably connected to also the method, the approach that I am taking, which will also determine whether I am able to succeed or not. There is a certain fear coming out of this process of change. One is, of course, the fear of what is going to be there in the future. The other could also be the fear of letting go of something which are very comfortable for me at this point of time. Certain dependencies that I have, which are very, very comfortable for me. Let me take an example. This is an example of a manager. She was very competent, doing very well in the organization, and she wanted a project. So she was working under her boss, and she had a very good relationship with her boss. She was very comfortable working in that position. And she wanted to progress, so she applied for this project, very challenging project that the company had. And because she was a good performer and she had these competencies and qualities, she was given the project. Once she got the project, her boss told her, well, you have to prepare, and within a couple of weeks or whatever time, you have to have the project's synopsis ready. And many days went, nothing is ready. And then he asks her, so how is it? Oh, no, I'm working on it. After a few days, nothing is ready. Then he asks her, but you know, something has to get done. I mean, you asked for this project. Don't you want it? She said, yeah, I want it. I want to take this up because that's very, very important. And I want this change in my life. And she believed that very, very strongly. And yet she was not working on it at all. Why was she not doing it? So she wanted this change in her life. She believed it was important for her. She knew that, yeah, I need to bring about this change. I need to progress in my career, and this is an important thing for me. She understood that intellectually. But yet, she did not really... She was doing everything that she could do to make it a failure. Though she wanted to make it a success. She really wanted to make it a success, but she was doing everything to actually fail. And when she went through this process of coaching, discovered something very, very interesting. Guess what it was? What came out was, she was actually very comfortable in the relationship with her boss. Her boss had sort of taken over the role of a father figure, who she had never had properly when she was growing up. And she was very comfortable in that position. And if she would actually succeed in this project, she would get an independent position. She would get promoted to a position where she would be a colleague at the level of a boss, where she would not be answering to her boss anymore. And she was not aware of this. It was totally unconscious, but this deep desire to continue to work under him, so she can be protected by him, he can continue to play the father in her mind, he can continue to play the daughter in her mind, and therefore fulfill whatever it is that she could not fulfill from her past. And it was so strong, and she was totally unaware of it. And so unknowingly, she was sabotaging her own performance. Though she wanted to, she understood it intellectually. And so she never started on that process at all. And so the fear of letting go of some dependency that I have. And... So one of the aspects that we have connected to the things that we have discussed is our sense of dependency on something else, which we need to let go of if we have to progress on this path of change. But we believe at least that we are getting something out of this, and therefore I don't want to let it go. And the fear sometimes comes of, if I let this go, then what? I'm stepping out into the unknown. Who is going to play my father now? I have one father now. I found, after 35 years of my life, I found a father. See? I mean, it's so difficult. I found a father after 35 years of my life. Now, I let go of that. Who am I going to find? What am I going to do? No, I want to hold on to my father. And it's not right for her. She recognized, but she didn't understand. But once she understood this, the deep dynamics, once she understood this, what am I doing? It's so stupid. See, that this insight, and that's where we speak about insight. And the role of insight in understanding, because all these things that we speak about, our readiness connected with our method, our readiness sometimes is also connected with our dependency, because we are not ready to let go of something, because we are getting something out of that, because we are dependent on that. And of course, all these things are intimately connected. And therefore, if we are looking at transformation, first of all, I need a deep insight in some of these things. I need an insight into what my dependencies are. In other words, people speak about comfort zones. It could be much deeper than that. I need an insight into what are my intentions. I need an insight into what kind of method I should really be following. Because along with our core values, we also have our personality. And our personality, along with our values, forms a very deep core within us. And if my insight, I don't have clear insight about who I am deep inside as a human being, as a person, both in terms of personality traits as well as core values, if I don't have this insight, I do not know then how to align my values and my personality with this method, with my intentions. So one is alignment, maybe the method, along with alignment with my values, it also needs to be aligned to my own personality traits. Because if I'm trying to do something that is not in alignment with certain traits of mine, it is bound to sometimes fail at some point of time. If it has worked for someone else, I try to do the same thing, but it may not really work for me. And I need to have clarity on what is really going to work for me. And for that, I really need to understand how I function. And therefore, I need some insight into my personality. But I also need an insight into my values, because if the method that I have taken is not in alignment with my values, and if the intentions that I have, again, is not really in alignment with my core values, and it's on the other hand, it's in alignment with certain acquired things that I have, acquired standards I have taken in, it is bound to fail at some point of time. So we have spoken about values earlier, but how do we experience who we are deep inside? What is the core of me? Theory, in the philosophy of Raj Yoga, you've done the course, we say, okay, the soul has these basic 6-7 values. What are these values? Oh, purity, love, peace, happiness, bliss, knowledge, power, great. We know, we have. But then, how do I experience these values? Do I experience them, or are they remaining a sort of an intellectual understanding? Let us look at that. I'll ask you another question. I'll ask you three questions. Because we're running out of time and we have to finish before 6. I'll ask you three questions. The first question is, you can think of people you have always admired in your life. Really admired, when you think of them, or when you hear about them, or when you interact with them, you are filled with a lot of inspiration. Think of one or two or three of these people. Someone will say, I can't think of anyone. It's possible. I don't know. If you cannot think of anyone, then think of the ideal person. Which actually may be connected to the second question, which is, think of people that you have fallen in love with, romantically. Then some will say, no, I've never fallen in love with anyone. I don't know about that. Or the kind of person that you would like to fall in love with. Because probably the experience of romantic love can really give us very deep insights into who we are. In my experience, that really gives us a very deep insight into who we are. Because usually, things that we are lacking inside, or we find ourselves lacking inside, we are searching for these in our so-called soulmate. Mm. The one who's going to come and make us full. Yeah. So you could look at these two things. One is people you admire, and the other thing is, you know, characteristics, qualities that you really want in a person that you would like to spend the rest of your life with, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Is it bad if the ones you fall in love with are the complete opposites of the one that you admire?
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
What you say. This is very, very interesting. I don't know how to answer that. Very interesting. But we will take this up. If you could spend a couple of minutes thinking about this, 1 minute maybe. No, what are those qualities, what are those values in these people that you really admire, that are really sort of non-negotiable for you? You know, they have to be there. These qualities have to be there. In the hero or in this person that you have fallen in love, will fall in love, would like to fall in love with?
But if you say that we admire some things that we lack ourselves, so what?
Not necessarily. It could be. But you know, I mean, they do certainly indicate certain values that are very important for us.
Okay.
But usually in romantic love, that can sometimes really, really emerge. And it's not that we lack them, but we may experience that we lack them.
Mm.
I'll give you an example.
But the fact that they're important to us says something about ourselves.
Certainly,
mm.
Certainly. So can you identify some of these things?
Mm.
Yeah? You need not tell them out, but keep them to yourself.
Mm.
And because we don't have so much time to share them. But what you could probably do is try and see if these qualities that you have identified, in what way, or do they at all, relate to these core qualities of the soul? Core qualities of the soul that we speak about. Love, happiness, wisdom or knowledge, bliss, joy, purity, cleanliness, integrity, honesty, purity. What else have I left? Power. Yeah? Seven core qualities we speak about when you're speaking about the soul. Core values. Are they related in some way to these values? And then we could look at the other thing. When I start any process of change, are my intentions aligned with my core values? So for example, if I want to bring about a change in myself, are the motives, the reasons behind that change connected to love? Not for someone else, but the experience of love? Am I making myself follow a path of change with love, or is it with anger? In my own life, I have seen sometimes we use a lot of stubborn force on ourselves to change. Because we know it's important for us and we have to change. We use a lot of force. Force comes from suffering. Force is an expression of anger, and anger comes from suffering. And if I'm using this force on myself, this stubbornness, I have to do it, I have to do it. And so we call it passion. Passion is also suffering. The whole experience of passion. I'm so passionate about this. Where is it coming from, this passion? This passion is coming from a deep sense of emptiness. It's so empty inside. I feel so passionate because the moment I have this, I will become full. So it is coming from emptiness. It is coming from suffering. The passion, the word, comes from the Greek word for suffering. We've spoken about this before. They speak about the passion of Christ. That is the suffering of Christ from the time he was captured till the time he was crucified. That is the passion of Christ. And so many a times we start something with a passion. I think that's the first signal that I'm starting on the wrong foot. The very first signal. And
but
sometimes it can be so fool, you know, we can fool ourselves. I'll come back to that. I remember when I started, you know, meditation. Wake up early in the morning and meditate. And follow a life of celibacy and all. Whatever I decided I would like to follow when I started Raj Yoga. And I have to do it. I have to do this. This is what I have to do. So I would do it for some time. I would do it for some time. And then there would be tiredness. Or I would be unable to really, after some time, start doing it because I'm so comfortable with all these other things, huh?
Yeah.
I have a deep faith, a deep conviction in all these other things, I can't let them go. And so I'm using force to let them go. That will never work because force is anger. There is no understanding. There is no deep insight into the importance of these things. And I understand, okay, these are my core values, but there is actually no experience of these values. I am just understanding them intellectually. But there is no real experience of love. There is no experience of purity. There is no deep experience of true happiness. And without the experience, based on the intellectual understanding of values, I'm trying to change. It will not work. And so therefore, I need firstly an insight into my core values, into my personality. I also need an insight, not just an insight, but the experience. And when I have the experience of these values, this core nature, I will experience willpower. Willpower will never come without the experience of those values. And secondly, the alignment of this experience with my intentions and with the method. Then I will experience will. When I have will, then I can have a sustainable transformation. But the will is an outcome of a life that is lived in alignment with the experience of values, not the identity around the value. Many a times, like I've seen in my own life, when you start understanding values, you start creating an identity around values. An identity is around a belief. I believe it is important to be loving, rather than the experience of being loving. So because I believe it is important to be loving, I will try to be loving because I believe I should be loving. So superficially, with force, with artificiality, I try to be loving. So I will say the right things to people, I will nod in the right way, I will smile very sweetly, I will do all these things. But deep, and I cannot sustain. So I will keep smiling, how are you? Very nice, nice to meet you, nice to meet you. And tomorrow I get a challenge from you, what happens to all my love? I stop smiling all of a sudden. What happens? Is that really love? It never was. It was an artificial expression without a deep experience of what love means. It will not sustain. So I decide I will not get angry. I will always be very nice and sweet to this person. But that is not coming out of an experience and out of a deep insight. That is coming out of a superficial identity around this whole thing of I have to be loving. Rather than I want to be loving because that is who I am. And so the process of meditation helps us go deeper if we allow it to take us there. And we have to allow it to take us there. It can help us go deep into experiencing these values. And unless we have that experience, we will not have willpower. We will not be able to sustain. Will comes from that experience, not from an identity around values. You were saying something.
It's not important anymore. It was just more like a comment that is a little bit of a paradox also, because passion is almost taught as a personal virtue in society.
Yeah.
But
nowadays,
so I totally agree what you say, but it is just a little bit of... So but do you think from your own personal experience, that meditation is the path
for
to inside?
For me it is, but also I have seen, if I allow it to really work on me, because what is the intention? Say, okay, I realize I have to meditate. Fine, great.
Mm-hmm.
What is the intention behind my process of meditating?
To find your true intention.
That could be a very nice intention. And if that is really the intention, if I'm really open, then I can go into a deep experience. But if my intention is really to develop this identity of love, an identity of power, I want to feel powerful, I should be loving. If that is my intention, then I'm bound to fail. Or I get some success, some tidbits are thrown my way. But because the intentions are not pure, they're not clean. I'm trying to develop an identity to prove my own self-worth to myself, that I'm powerful, I'm loving. So why am I meditating? I'm meditating because tomorrow if someone insults me, it should not make any difference to me. I want to feel that. So now it is good not to get affected by what people are saying. But if my intention is around this whole creating this identity, you insult me. Let's see how much you can insult me. I will take it. I will not get affected. This is my intention. It's bound not to work because it is based on falsehood. Rather, as you said, if I'm open, I just allow myself to feel the purity. I allow myself to feel the love. I allow myself to get deeper and deeper and touch that core of the soul. I allow myself to experience the light of God. I just allow myself. These things will happen automatically. I will develop that strength. I will develop that power. I will develop that resilience. Tomorrow, if someone insults me, I will not feel it. I won't have to think, oh, I am not feeling it. I will just not feel it. That will not affect me. My love will not get affected because I am with the experience. So, quick transformation. Very early? Okay, they've probably come for the evening meditation, but it's still 42 minutes for that. It doesn't matter. So, the thing then, as we to sort of wind it up, is to understand, have an insight, not just into my core values, also in the ways I function, because whichever method I take up, it has also to be, I have to be practical, it has to be aligned also to certain personality traits that I have. So say, for example, some people work very well in groups with other people. Some people work very well on their own. Now, and you know, I have experienced this myself. I work very well, pretty well when I'm on my own. I work well with people, but you know, I'm pretty well on my own. When I started learning meditation, one of the first things that we were taught was, we have to learn to be with people, have to learn to be with the group, you have to go over your individual identity and all that, which is good, we need to learn that. But I took it in a very different way. And I said, no, whatever everybody is doing, I should do that. Whatever everybody is doing, I should do that. And what was there behind it? It wasn't that experience of cooperation. It was the identity, I should do this. Because if I want to become perfect, this is how I should be. Yeah, and in that process, I realized the frustration comes in after some time because your intentions firstly are not pure, and secondly they are not aligned with your natural ways of doing things. So over a period of time, I recognized that yes, I have to learn to be with people and be comfortable with them, and you know, be completely at home. But at the same time, I've always worked in a very individual way, in a very independent way. And if I want to progress on the spiritual path, I have to find my own way also. But then, that own way shouldn't become a barrier, which will stop me from relating to other people. That's the other part of it. Even that shouldn't become an identity. Oh, I do things my own way. Mm-hmm. So I should do it. At the same time, I should be able to go beyond it. And that can happen when I am connected with that deep experience of the inner self, because then there is a sense of balance, and then I can be with people, I can be, you know, I can find my own way. Even with people, I can find my own way without necessarily making a point out of that, that this is my way. There's no need to do that. I can keep following it within me. So I also need to understand how I function, how I naturally function, how I function best, not to track myself in that identity that this is how I function, but to understand it and to use it in the service of transformation, bringing about transformation, without creating an identity around it. The moment I create an identity, I'm trapping myself in impure intentions, because then I'm trying to create a sort of a image for myself in my eyes, and that defeats the whole purpose of being a soul. Okay, any questions? Anything that you would like to say? Any reflections? Or we wind up with some meditation? Yes?
I just have one comment on the girl,
yeah,
you used for the case with the intention.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's also just based on personal experience that sometimes you, because it's very important, this thing about the right intention, right? And it takes a long time to actually,
yeah,
sometimes you have to start all over to learn to do things,
yes,
for the right intention.
Yeah.
But I mean, also, it could also go the other way, that sometimes that she may have started out, now I just use her as a general example,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
started out for the right intentions, for her own sort of good health or whatever.
Yes, yes.
But the creation of the identity that she was now attractive.
Yes.
I also just have experienced that can also
you are
make 100, the
you are 100% right.
Mm.
And we also discussed that in this incidence of these burnouts with these couple of sports people. So they start off with, you know, it's an expression. They're just going out on the tennis field and they're hitting a ball and they just get they're good at it and they're enjoying it. And then they start getting rewarded for it. Then they start getting measured for it. Then they get into the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the whole thing. So the control at some point of time shifts.
Yeah.
And when the control shifts, and I allow the control to shift, it's in my mind. I'm allowing the control to shift. Then there is pressure. Then I'm not controlled from within.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously I have pressure, and then I get fed up, and I get tired, and I get
mm-hmm.
One of them didn't want to even look at a tennis racket anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The other one has a tennis racket in his room. So he just reminds himself of the past, but he doesn't want to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because the control has shifted outside. So yeah, you're right, it can happen that way as well. So the process of meditation, understanding intention, clarifying it, but also most importantly, going down deep below and allowing ourselves to experience these qualities rather than just create some sort of a identity around it. Okay, shall we stop for today? Thank you. Let's have some meditation before we wind up. Within a second, I let the body and the mind settle down. Turning my attention inwards, going deep within myself once again. I stabilize myself in the form of my eternal self. I, the soul, point of light, a being of peace, and I experience the deep inner silence, the unlimited stillness of being free from the dependency on this physical body and the world of this body. Stabilized in my form of light, I experience this body and this world to disappear from my consciousness. And I see myself in the soul world, that world of light, from where the soul comes upon the earth to play its part. The world beyond space and time. The world beyond success and failure. The world of the Supreme. And I place myself in His presence, under His light. allowing myself to feel my eternal existence of being a soul. Free from all dependencies, attachments, desires, and ambitions. Just allowing myself to feel my core nature. Of being peaceful, loving, powerful, pure, the image of God. Shining and sparkling in his light. Not letting any thoughts of this physical existence pull me or distract me. I hold on to this deep silence and this light. Going deeper and deeper within myself. Free from all pressures of the physical world, of relationships, activities, experiences, ambitions, desires. I just rest as the eternal soul. Under the light of the Supreme. And holding on to this deep, silent stillness. I allow myself, my consciousness to return back to this world of matter, ready to play my role through the physical costume of this body, but connected to my deepest, innermost nature of being a soul, a being of peace and love and power. And purity. Om Shanti.